All right, good morning everyone. Good to see the seats have been rearranged so more people have access. And here, as you say, here's the amended title. Next talk's a motion from cover crop systems. We're in a cover crop session, it makes more sense to do that. Comparisons between a conventional and organic managed systems. Okay, just for an intro here, I'm not sure of the audience, particularly with regards to greenhouse gases, so I thought I'd put a first slide on nitrous oxide. It's produced naturally in the soil, microbial source, typically or predominantly from the processes of nitrification and denitrification. It is the major greenhouse gas emitted from agriculture in the US and worldwide. In the US, roughly 70% of the anthropogenic emissions are from the soil, and it's the largest contributor to the global warming impact. Global warming impact of crop systems, of row crop systems in the US and elsewhere. And that's predominantly due to its high per molecule influence in the atmosphere, roughly 300 times of a CO2 molecule. So even small emission reductions of N2O really benefit the atmosphere based on that high global warming impact. So the rationale for an objective of some of the work we're doing here in this project is that in general there's a shortage of nitrous oxide emissions from cover crop systems. Also, a corollary sort of rationale, which I'll talk about, is that there are very few studies that have directly compared nitrous oxide emissions and nitrogen dynamics between organic, certified organic, and conventionally managed systems. So the objective here, again, is to quantify the effect of cover crop use under conventional organic management on the emissions of nitrous oxide. Just a quick site description. I work at the Kellogg Biological Station in southwest Michigan. There's some information there. About 300 meters elevation, about one meter of rain, a mean annual temperature of 10 degrees Celsius, and the soils are loams, gently rolling slopes. And that bottom picture is just an image of some of the crop systems that we're investigating at the moment. Overall experimental design, two management practices, conventional and organic, three crop phases, corn, soybean, and wheat, all phases each year, three major cover crops, and four blocks. It's a randomized complete block design. The management practices, again, conventional, organic. With conventional, the major management practice, we're using synthetic N, UAN, urea ammonium nitrate, chisel applying, we're using herbicides, we're using pesticides, obviously. With the organic system, the N source and the carbon source is poultry manure, pelletized poultry manure, again, chisel applying, but then to kill weeds, etc., your rotary horn and other field cultivation techniques. The cover crops, the main one we'll talk about today, are annual ryegrass, red clover, and oilseed radish, so brassica, a grass, and a legume. Management and sampling. Each management system is managed independently according to the common practice of either the conventional system or the organic system, and the timing of the management is based on the growing season. The sampling of the greenhouse gases is management-driven, i.e. so when we take a sample from the organic system, we'll also take a sample from the conventional system, irrespective if there's been a management practice on that conventional system, and vice versa. And that means over the course of 1 year, roughly, we take 14 or 15 greenhouse gas samples per year. This 3 years of studies I'll talk about is about 37 or 38 days of sampling of nitrous oxide emissions. Just a quick overview of how we determine N2O. Top left, we have some chambers there. Basically, it's just a base inserted into the soil and a lid placed on top of the base for a period of time, roughly an hour. We sample using syringes and needles, the bottom left-hand graph, and take those vials where we put the gas samples in back to the lab. The top right-hand graph shows an automated analysis system with a GC, with an electron capture detector. In the bottom right, basically what we're trying to look for here is the change in concentration and time of the N2O in the chamber headspace. And we measure the slope of the line, use some ideal gas law equations, and can generate fluxes of N2O. So the results I'll summarize here over the last 3 years are comparing nitrous oxide emissions with and without cover crops in the organic and conventional management systems, the different cover crop treatments, and also the different cash crops, the corn, soybean, and wheat that are in those rotations. So the first graph here, I'll try to orientate you, the six bars you see there. The first two bars on the left are the overall emissions over the course of the 3 years. I've blocked them into 2012, 13, and 14. And the y-axis, as you see, is kilograms of nitrous oxide N per hectare over that three-year period. The middle two blocks are the no-cover crop treatments, again, conventional organic, and the four, two right blocks, if anyone can see them, are with the cover crop treatment. So you can see that if we take the first two blocks on the left, conventional system, in general you can see that with that red, that big green bar in 2014, there's something definitely going on in the organic system in 2014, and we'll get to that a little later. But what you can see is that when you break down into the years with the conventional, you're pretty much getting about a kilogram a year, just under a kilogram a year. The blue bar is slightly more in 2012. When you get to, there's not really a great deal of difference in years 2012 and 2013. The error bars are there, or plus or minus one standard error. But when you see, when you get to 2014, in the organic system, but not the conventional system, you're seeing these exceptionally large fluxes with a large degree of variability. And I'll get into more of the detail of that in a couple of slides. What I have here is the daily nitrous oxide emissions, the average daily nitrous oxide emissions in 2 years, between February and October 2013 and April and September 2014. And we have organic in yellow and conventional in brown. And the y-axis is, again, grams of nitrous oxide nitrogen per hectare per day. So what's obviously, again, striking, just to prove the point, is that the organic system has much larger emissions in those 2 years. The error bars are, again, very large. But you can see, I think, when we compare the different cover crops, particularly in the organic system, there are differences. There are definitely trends there, but the error bars are such that it's difficult to statistically say that there's a particular cover crop is actually reducing or increasing the emissions. There's some evidence, for instance, in 2013, that the red clover has lower emissions than the no cover. If you see on the far left, in both graphs, there's a no cover treatment, and the other cover crops are listed there. I also want to point out also there's an early and a late termination of the cover crops. But in general, other than the organic being much higher than the conventional system, there are trends, but no really statistical evidence that anything is really reducing or increasing nitrous oxide emissions. Here's just a graph on the daily nitrous oxide fluxes, some temporal variation. You can see on the x-axis at the bottom there, the time scale goes from April 2012 all the way up to August 2014. And what really I want to show here is the prevalence of high pulses of peaks in the corn phase of each year. If you recall, it's a corn-soybean-wheat rotation. Each entry point is shown here, corn-soybean-wheat, soybean-wheat-corn, wheat-corn-soybean. So you see that in both organic and conventional systems, during the corn phase of the year, there are high pulses of N2O at particular times of the year. So as you can see with the conventional system, that's around about August. And there's a reason for this, but I'll get onto that in the next slide. But you see with the organic system, that pulse is a little earlier in the season. And again, there's a reason for that. I wanted also to point out that if you see the bottom slide there, the bottom graph of the organic slide, that's a base 10 log scale. So you see these emissions here are exceptionally large, particularly for 2013 and 2014 in the organic phase. Again, mirroring what I've been showing in the previous graphs. And on this last slide, I'll try to explain what's going on here. Again, to point out, during the winter phase, we're not sampling much N2O, but for the most part, there are low and very low. Effectively, the pulses are absent from the phase, the shoulder in the winter seasons from sort of like November through March. There's very little going on. So what I have here is the management impact, so what we think is going on, particularly in these organic systems, with or without cover crops. I'll just orientate you again. This is from the year 2014, the day of the year. On the y-axis is, the daily flux, grams of nitrous oxide nitrogen per hectare. The gray bars, vertical bars, are the rainfall during that course of time. The cover crops that are represented there, green for annual ryegrass, red for red clover, and yellow for oilseed radish. And then above each of those organic and conventional grafts is sort of arrows or lines which dictate at what point in time that management intervention occurred. And I'll explain the icons while I go forward. So first of all, you can see here in the conventional organic system, this is when the cover crops were terminated. On the top graph in the conventional, you're using herbicide. So there's an early and late termination around about day 130 and day 140. In the organic system, the cover crops were tilled manually, rotary hoeing, and incorporating the residue. And you see that action, if you look at the nitrous oxide fluxes before and after those two events, there's not a great deal going on. I've deliberately not included error bars because that would make the graph somewhat more complex. But you see there's not too much going on with regards to nitrous oxide emissions. Pretty low background beforehand, pretty low background emissions after those treatments. So what we see here, again, that's just to show the low background emissions. When we're actually planting the corn here, in the conventional system, you can see that along with a relatively heavy rainfall event of about 20 to 25 millimeters, the oilseed radish and annual ryegrass and the no cover really didn't show any emission increases, but there was a noticeable increase in the red clover, and presumably due to the land disturbance, the residue incorporation, and the higher end content of the red clover the above ground biomass about 4%. The thought is there that that would increase the nitrous oxide emissions. Mineralization of a high-end content material, you're going to get larger nitrous oxide emissions, and that seems to be manifesting itself, at least in the conventional system. So here down in the organic system, we didn't apply chickens to the system, but we applied pelletized poultry manure before we planted the corn. And again, that rainfall event, as you see, and what we actually see there is that that next sampling event, there's definitely an increase in the nitrous oxide emissions across the board. And again, that's a log scale, don't forget. So we're talking from about 2 or 3 to 10 grams of nitrous oxide per hectare a day before the pelletized poultry manure and the corn planting, and then we're talking many tens, if not close to 100 grams per hectare per day. So large emission increases. What we see here, and again in the organic system, is actually a replanting of corn because the sandhill cranes had a literal field day with the early planting, and also more land cultivation. And then we see this exceptionally high flux, and it's difficult to, I try to do this graph many ways, but bearing in mind it's a log scale, so those emissions from the no cover, the red clover, the annual ryegrass, the oilseed radish, they have very, very high emissions for event 2. They're close to 1 to 2 kilograms per hectare today, which, if people are familiar with N2O, is an exceptionally high flux. And we managed to capture this. I think we've managed to capture this high pulse, and there's obviously some good reasons why this high pulse occurred. As you can see, we have a combination of land disturbance, we have the inputs from the pelletized poultry manure of carbon and nitrogen, and then we have rainfall events. It's almost like an ideal, I hate to use this term, perfect storm for denitrification to occur. So the suggestion is here that these exceptionally high fluxes of N2O are due to that ideal combination for denitrification to take place. And again, here in the, back in the conventional system, we're applying fertilizer here, hand-applied fertilizer, urea, ammonium nitrate. The emissions from the red clover stay very similar, but again, you see that N input with a bit of rainfall tends to up the emissions from the other cover crops, annual ryegrass and oilseed radish. And that is another tillage event late in the season, and then there's still some very high emissions from the organic system. So some general conclusions from all this. Top two relating specifically to the audience with cover crops, including cover crops, and this is a good result, frankly, did not have much effect on nitrous oxide emissions. It didn't mitigate nitrous oxide emissions in our systems, but it didn't exacerbate the issue. Not a lot of information out there, so this is, in general, good news with regards to the inclusion of cover crops, both in conventional and organic systems. Cover crop type, termination time, at least over the total course of 3 years, we didn't really see much overall effect. There were definitely some red clover issues in 2013 and 14, where the higher-end content may have caused daily increased emissions, but overall, not a great deal to talk about with regards to the significance. Oh, beg your pardon. The big issue here, what we did find was that over the course of those 3 years, the application of large amounts of nitrogen and carbon in the pelletized poultry manure in the organic system caused massive emissions on single days of nitrous oxide emissions, such that over the course of the 3 years, those single-day emissions really drove the total emissions from the system, and we're up to about 5 times greater in the organic than in the conventional. Going back to the cash crops, not probably surprisingly, nitrous oxide emissions were highest in the corn compared to the wheat and the soybean in both management systems in all years, again due to the input of N, whether it be inorganic or organic sources. And again, just to reiterate the big point there, that the highest fluxes occurred in these organic systems, presumably because of the application of large amounts of nitrogen, large amounts of carbon, soil disturbance, and then mixing it together with a bit of rain created these ideal conditions for denitrification and nitrous oxide emissions. And with that, I'll finish and take some questions.
Any questions for our speakers?
How much poultry manure did you apply?
The total amount was between 3,000 pounds to 4,500 pounds per acre, which with an N input translates to about anywhere between 140 to 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Sorry for the mixed units, I have to work in both.
So is that the same for the conventional?
No, the conventional doesn't get poultry manure. The convention. Oh, I see the N input, yeah. Not dissimilar. It was applied about 140 to 160 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. It's based on a PSNT test prior to that.
So they're about equal.
Roughly, a little more N input in 1 year, but the assumption is that you're getting 50-60% of N in that first year, which may or may not be the case. I don't even know. Keith, sorry. Keith.
No, just really quick. So some of the work I've seen in Indiana and a few other places, it looks like nobody's finding that per crops are really helping at all on N2O emissions. And it's,
any
positive?
Greatly increasing,
but it looked like it even almost increased a little bit in your system relative to no jobs.
I think it's not necessarily surprising. I mean, we obviously haven't talked about other aspects of the nitrogen and nitrate leaching. I mean, with regards to crops, you're incorporating N from the past season, typically, and you're mineralizing them the next year. So you're really, you know, it's a source of N. And so in some cases, for instance, the red clover, where it's a high source of N with a low CN ratio, you may well be getting pretty rapid mineralization and denitrification. So, you know, it's for me, it's neither good nor bad. It's what it is we see here. But there's no obvious benefit with N2O mitigation in these systems. The benefit comes elsewhere with cover crops, as we all know.
All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.